Baines, very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, what are we going to talk about today? I was kind of sitting down thinking, what am I going to talk about? But then it struck me, something last night that I heard on the news, which I thought was very interesting. I thought, what a good question for the show. Now, as you all know, and I'm just reading here an article from the Irish Independent, Mary Lou MacDonald has reported a video of a masked man who threatened to shoot her to the Garda Síochána. The Sinn Féin leader said the threats represent an escalation of targeted online abuse directed towards her in the last year. The masked man also threatened the life of the commissioner, Drew Harris. Now, let's be clear. Death threats or threats of any harm to any politician are completely unacceptable in any civilised society. You can hate their policies, but hating the person is unacceptable. Anyway, yesterday I was listening to the news in the mainstream media, and the reporter, they went to, you know, that during the news and the reading of the news at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, they went to, you know, a reporter. They always do that just to have a different voice during the news. And he cited the case of Joe Frost, the British politician that was murdered in cold blood in the UK some years ago, and said the politicians felt it was only a matter of time before something happened here in Ireland with the rise of the far right. Now, let's be clear. That was the end of the piece, by the way, in the news. In other words, this was all the far right's fault. This idea that maybe a politician could be harmed or could be killed, and I would hate to think anything like that would happen. But let's be clear, the murder of Joe Frost was despicable, as was the murder of the right-winger Conservative politician in 2021, Sir David Amos, who was a British Conservative politician. But that wasn't mentioned. He was murdered by the far left. But more obviously, of course, over the weekend, we had the very recent assassination attempt of Donald Trump by a 20-year-old psycho who was consistently and constantly going around, according to some viral videos, referring to people as fascists. So he certainly wasn't right-leaning or a fan of the Republicans by any stretch of the imagination, although I did see the left trying to mark him as a right-wing person by suggesting that he was a registered Republican. Now, being a registered Republican in America means absolutely nothing, by the way. That's probably a strategy by many Democrats to, you know, have the primaries loaded in favour of the Democrats. So this week, we heard the government talk about the protests in Coolock and refer to the right wing and the far right, as if leaning right of centre on any issues is a negative thing, and the left of centre must always be the default starting position. So who are the far right? What are the far right? And why do we never hear the far left being mentioned and the menace on society that they can be too? Let's be clear about it. I mean, during the election campaign, I was threatened. I was defamed. My life was threatened. I didn't obviously report it at the time because as a talk show host, that's happened to me numerous times and nothing's ever been done about it. Anyway, defamed, slandered, mocked online, and it certainly wasn't from the far right. In fact, some of the worst abuse that I got were from people who were in NGOs and leftist politicians who were the first people to condemn hate speech and condemn the far right in their language. So the question I'm asking today, is it time, like in America, they've said they need to cool down the temperature on language and this divisive language? And let's be clear about it, in America, equally as same as here, the Democrats are equally responsible for, you know, this divisive language by using words like we need to take him out and take him down and put a bullseye on him and all this kind of language, which kind of suggests that you should kill somebody or assassinate somebody, mainly Donald Trump. But the question I want to ask you is it time that we tone down the language here in Ireland, the divisive language? And who are the far right? And are they really that much more dangerous than the far left, if that's the way you want to talk about it? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. Now, before we start, of course, I don't want this to get into a naming and shaming episode. So please don't be mentioning names on the air. Don't come on the air and tell me who's far right and who's far left. We'll all be the deciders in our own heads as to who we believe, you know, might be on the extremes or the fringes of society. Firstly, I want to go to Ben Scallon, and Ben is a senior political correspondent with Grip Media and very familiar with the far right and the far left, I imagine. Ben, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, great to be here.
Ben, I mean, this idea that we constantly refer to the far right or the right wing as being the negative part of society, and I cited that yesterday when it was reported in the news about, you know, that shocking story about Mary Lou MacDonald having the death threat. They immediately mentioned Joe Frost, the British politician who was murdered, and, you know, politicians in Ireland are concerned this might happen here with the rise of the far right. There was no mention, of course, of David Amos, you know, who has also killed a British politician in the last few years, who was a Conservative politician.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's very telling that when you listen to the media commentary around political extremism, which for the record is a huge problem, regardless of the ideology of anybody who subscribes to it. Of course, We don't want to live in a society where anybody of any description is engaging in extremist rhetoric, violent rhetoric, or God forbid, violent actions. That's needless to say, totally and utterly unacceptable, regardless of circumstances. But with that said, I do think it is noteworthy that I did an analysis of Europol data going back several years, about a decade of Europol reports. And what I found from that research was that in Ireland, the overwhelming majority of terror arrests, when they look at the motivation for them, it is almost exclusively Republican dissident groups who Europol identifies as left-wing. These are typically socialist, Marxist groups, self-described, who believe in taking down the capitalist, imperialist system, and so on and so forth, and they are very much decidedly of the left. That particular angle never gets discussed. If you were to listen to the media, you would reach the natural conclusion that far-right extremism is the leading threat to this country, when in fact, the data shows it is the exact opposite. That is, of course, not to excuse any kind of particular violent rhetoric or actions on either side. It is simply to say it is an interesting focus that we have this looming elephant in the corner of the room, which is completely unaddressed, that most people are unaware of, while we focus on something that is comparatively a significantly smaller issue.
But the media play a huge role in this. And Gary from Gripped actually was talking to me the other day, and he made a very interesting point when we talked about, obviously, the man who tried to take the life of Donald Trump. Now, clearly, this 20-year-old psychopath, who has been seen on videos more recently, which have circulated on social media, referring to people as fascists constantly all the time, he clearly doesn't lean to the right. He clearly leans to the left, right? But his politics are kind of irrelevant. But the point Gary makes is, you know, the British or the American media, like CNN, for example, have a lot to answer for. This kid, 10 years of age, when he starts to critically think for the first time in his life, the only thing he hears in the media, on the most popular media, is, you know, far right, bad Donald Trump, bad man. You know, he's going to destroy democracy. So that's all he hears for 10 years of his life, and eventually decides to get a gun and shoot him. So the media have a huge role to play this, and a huge responsibility in this, because when you've got, say, those protests in Coolock, which are happening this week, most of those people are concerned citizens. Yes, it's always going to get hijacked, you know, by members of the extreme far right, if you want to call it that, who will use it for their own purposes. And not only that, you've got, you know, just gurriers, opportunists looking for a bit of trouble. But, the, you know, immediately Simon Harris or whoever it is, or Aidan would probably do it as well, but Roderick O'Gorman and Minister Justice Helen McEntee, you know, talks about the rise of the far right. We won't accept this from the far right. You know, the right wing are out there. It's always the right, the right, the right. The right are bad. Now, yet we see demonstrations and protests, which can become violent on a regular basis, you know, where we would have far left agitators, Antifa, for example. But we don't hear that mentioned in the media. That's not portrayed in some sort of negative way. These are the good people of society.
There's a perception out there that the far left doesn't even exist. I remember one official within, I believe it was the Social Democrats a couple of years ago, was responding to a claim by Drew Harris that one of the protests during the COVID lockdown featured far right and far left elements. And she was saying, is there even such a thing as a far left in Ireland? So, yeah, there is a fundamental denial that there are two sides to this problem. And as for the situation more broadly, I absolutely do believe that there are people who have extreme views who are right of centre, as there are people with extreme views who are left of centre, views that you and I and presumably most of your listeners would condemn. But I do think that the media need to ask themselves, where did these people come from exactly? Because 10 years ago in Ireland, there was no right-wing extremism really to speak of. There was no conspiracy theorists or any of the other groups that the media likes to demonize. And I think when you have gotten to the point where we have completely discredited the mainstream sources, you know, the media have totally disgraced themselves over years based on their coverage of various issues and the outrageous bias that they've shown. Politicians are no longer trusted or taken seriously by anybody. And so when you undermine the official institutions of the state, like the police, and people start to disbelieve that the authorities have their best interests at heart, what is left for people, some people at least, but to lurch to some very radical and unfortunate conclusions, which are not good for society, but which are sadly all too inevitable and all too predictable. So I think that it is the fact that the media and the establishment has so discredited themselves that they have effectively driven sections of society into the arms of rather unsavory characters with beliefs that are less than ideal. And I think that that's a bad thing. And I think that it is the fault of the politicians who are complaining about it.
Well, listen, Ben, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you coming on to talk to us today. Ben Scanlon, senior political correspondent with Grip Media. Let me go to Ian O'Doherty, who's a journalist with the Irish Independent. Ian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I open this up with just a simple question. Who are and what are the far right? But I referred to how the story of Mary Lou MacDonald was reported yesterday in the news, with the kind of insert of the reporter coming on, making reference to Joe Frost, making reference to the fact that Irish politicians are concerned with the rise of the far right. Now, they didn't mention Sir David Amos, who was killed in 2021, and the rise of the far left as well. So there's this kind of one-sided narrative in relation to the far right. So why do you believe, you know, the far right are the ones who are painting in such a bad way, or the right wing? In other words, if we don't start at a default of far left, well, then there's something wrong with us in society.
Well, there's a few points to unpick there. First of all, there is a massive far right presence across Europe, and they're Muslims. Mm-hmm. They're Islamic extremists. They are the true fascists. It's not Giorgia Meloni or Marine Le Pen.
But they're referred constantly to as the far right, aren't they? Because we've seen that, of course, with the far left protests, by the way, in France only recently. They did a huge amount of damage. That didn't get an awful lot of media coverage, mind you.
But the thing is, from a local point of view, and I'm saying this as somebody who's been involved in the Irish media for, God, way too long, and longer than since I was a teenager, really. When you call somebody far right, that means you don't have to argue with them. You don't have to interrogate their ideas. You don't have to explain your own. Because basically what far right essentially means is, oh, they're just a Nazi. And it really is the politics of the playground.
But where did it come from, Ian? Because one of my first interactions with you, we chatted many, many years ago when I worked at 90FM, probably 20 years ago, right? And we didn't use terms like far right and far left. I mean, I'm 30 years doing this kind of show, and when you mentioned the word far right, you immediately thought of, you know, kind of these guys walking around with swastika flags or something like that in the middle of America with skinheads. That's immediately what you thought of. We didn't have far right or right wing or left wing in Ireland. We just had conservative or liberal views. But in the last 3 or 4 years, we're hearing the government using this term constantly all the time to basically put down people who have certain ideological views.
Yeah, and it's, like, let's put it this way. It's interesting that I'm able to write more freely for The Spectator in England than I am over in Ireland about these issues, right? People are terrified of, there's this horrible blob of conformism in the Irish media. The Irish media, by and large, most of your listeners might suspect, but I mean, I can confirm this is true. Most Irish journalists, like most Irish academics, they're all from a very middle-class background. They don't live in areas that are affected, for example, by immigration. They don't live in Coolock, right? So rather than actually try to understand why people who do live in those areas might have objections. And like, I'm from Crumlin originally, so I completely understand where they're coming from. It's so much easier just to go, oh, far right. Because once you say far right, that's it. The game is up. The argument is over. Why should we be talking to somebody who's from the far right? Now, nobody calls Paul Murphy
far left. No.
Or Richard Boyd Barrett far left. These are two people who are Breed Smith.
They're referred to as socialists, yeah.
Yeah, but they're openly communist, and they make no bones about it. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. We have communist politicians in the Dáil, right? Politicians who, as is their right, in a democratic state to espouse communist ideas. We don't have any fascist politicians, you know. And it's a form of soft indoctrination. And I see it with a lot of the younger journalists that I'd occasionally be talking to and stuff. As soon as you mention the word far right, that's it. Boom. Game over. Mm. They won't have anything to do with you.
So you don't have a right to an opinion. And I've seen, yeah. and you mentioned academics, and I don't want
and
to...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry. This is a really interesting point. It's like, if you believe in freedom of speech these days, that makes you far right. If you're against the ridiculous hate speech bill, that makes you far right. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm an old school liberal. I believe that ideas should be argued out, and that better ideas will beat worse ideas. That's the way we were all brought up to believe. I don't want to censor anyone. Like, one of the arguments that I would use is that Holocaust denial, for example. I don't want to ban the denial of the Holocaust, because I've debated against three different Holocaust deniers. On those three different occasions, I completely handed their asses to them because I used evidence. And I made them look like the fools that they are. So, yet somehow, by me being against the imposition of this ridiculous hate speech law, and Helen McEntee, by the way, is just a disgrace as a justice minister.
It's surprising. It's surprising, by the way, she's still in the job when you look at the incompetence of her department currently at the moment in relation to the chaotic immigration.
Wouldn't still be in a job if she was a man. Let's put it that way.
I don't know what it has to do with her gender. I think politicians nowadays. Here's the thing. You know what I said recently? If you go back to the days of Charlie Haw, yes, they were corrupt. There is no doubt about it, right? They had a hand in everyone's pocket, okay? But here's the thing. They actually worried about getting caught, because if they got caught, they lost their job. But nowadays, I don't believe politicians worry about getting caught doing things wrong or making a hames of things or being incompetent, because they all back each other up anyway, and nobody gets fired or nobody has a motion of no confidence. So, I mean, it just doesn't happen anymore. So I don't think they really care anymore. So when you listen to politicians over the last 3 days, instead of, you know, tackling the root of the problem as to why Kulak is happening in the first place, and yes, we must all condemn the violence, but instead of tackling the root of the problem, what they do is they double down on it. And they say, oh, but look at what's happening now. We're definitely going to do it now. You know, it's kind of almost like they don't care what people think, because look, they're not going to lose votes out in Coolock, because they only lose votes
the thing is, though, the people of Coolock are the people all across working class and rural areas. The Irish politicians and the Irish media look on those people the way Hillary Clinton used to refer to the deplorables.
Mm-hmm.
When she was talking about Trump supporters, right, or people in the flyover states in America. People in Coolock have been, from the time I was a kid, Coolock was a deprived and neglected area, and politicians didn't care. A lot of politicians, even from that constituency, didn't even bother canvassing there. Right, so the thing is, if you're from Donnybrook or Ballsbridge or Ranelagh or Dalkey or whatever, your voice will carry more weight, which is the reason why we don't have direct provision centres there.
Well, you're obviously as well more likely to vote, because you're more likely to be registered to vote. The problem is, they don't vote.
If you've been brought up to believe that the system doesn't believe in you, why should you believe in the system? If the system has abandoned you. Now, I mean, the thing is, I mean, I hold voting very dear. I mean, every election since I turned 18, I've always voted, and I've always, urged people to vote, even if they're going to vote in a different direction that I'm going to vote. I do think it's terrible that so many people don't care. But I think it's...
Okay.
They don't look on voting as the fundamental exercise of democratic power.
Let me just get back to the far right. And Ian, if you'd hold with me just for a second, because I just want to go to Billy, because he wants to make a comment in relation to what you're saying. Sorry, Billy, hi, how are you?
Hello, Nine, how are you?
Good. Billy, I mean, this kind of idea that, you know, the far right bad, and we've seen it in the media. I mentioned that that's a classic example yesterday where we talked about, you know, the shocking threats, by the way, in Mary Lou's life. The way it's reported in the media, they immediately mentioned the case of Joe Frost. We hope this doesn't happen over here, but it's because of the rise of the right wing. I mean, I could easily mention, as I said, David Amos, the British Conservative politician who was also killed in 2021, but that's not mentioned in the news. Or more recently, of course, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, who was clearly by a person who wasn't of right-leaning stance. It was clearly a person who was left-leaning. So what I'm saying is, why do we always, or why is it always right is bad, left is good?
Firstly, on people who assassinate politicians, I think their political ideology does not matter. They have a mental health issue that they want to go and kill someone. So just to put that out there straight away. You know, your political ideology shouldn't matter. It's you're a criminal. You're doing something that is wrong. You are attacking democracy.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the way, and what Ian is talking about is the way it's portrayed in the media.
Yes, but like the threat against Mary Lou McDonald, we don't know who this guy is. We don't know anything about him. It's assumed he's far right, but he could just be a criminal. Might have no political ideology whatsoever, but it is a way of putting down debate and preventing debate. I agree with Ian on that way. Just Ian on one thing you mentioned, White Barrett Murphy and Breed Smith. I call them Trotskyites rather than socialists. I think they're a different type of socialist. Really.
Oh, but they're looking for everyone to come together as a huge left wing party. Anyway, let's move away from them.
Not really.
Yeah. Okay.
There's what's called the horseshoe theory of politics, where instead of it being a straight line where you have a center, a left, and a right, you have a horseshoe shape. And if you look at the end of the horseshoe, the far left and the far right are at the same end of the horseshoe. They appeal to people's worst natures. They manipulate people and they push ideology to them. And that's what.
Okay, but Billy, I want to move the conversation on to the extent that. You know, I mentioned to Ian a minute ago, I've been doing talk radio for 30 years. And, you know, we've had conversations in the past, myself and Ian, on radio and what have you. But nobody mentions the word right wing, left wing, far right, far left. You know, it's only in the last, well, probably 3 or 4 years, realistically. Actually, probably during COVID, because when people went out protesting, they were referred to as far right at the time. So, I mean, it's only now that we're seeing, you know, these terms being used. If you're against vaccinations, you're a far right person. If you didn't want to wear a mask during COVID, you must be far right. You know, if you thought the lockdowns were a bad idea, you're far right. Now, if you want a fair immigration policy and you want people deported from the country who shouldn't be here in the first place, you're far right. You know what I mean? This idea that we just label somebody, as Ian rightly said, to shut them up, this has only started in the last 4 or 5 years.
But Niall, yes, I would agree with you. It's only started in the last couple of years. But before that, Niall, we didn't have a real left-right split in this country in terms of politics.
Oh, we always did. Of course we did.
You're a Fine Gaeler. You're a Labour Party. No, you were aligned to a party previously. It was a case that we didn't put people on a political compass. Previously, because our politics evolved very differently from the rest of Europe and the United States and the United Kingdom. Our politics fell out of the Civil War, and it was that split between the parties that it didn't matter if Fianna Fáil veered to the right or veered to the left. The Fianna Fáil voters stayed with them. They mightn't agree with everything that they voted for, but predominantly those people stayed with those parties.
I mean, just go back to Ian, and I want to come to Stephen McCutcheon, he's waiting there as well. Ian, in relation to Irish politics, I mean, people feel, and I know a lot of people feel a bit disenfranchised by Irish politics because they think Irish politics is all to the left. Now, I know the left in Irish politics accuse Fine Gael of being right-wing parties. They're certainly not right-wing parties, but they accuse. So people don't have much choice. We, as you rightly said, we don't have a fascist in the Dáil. Maybe that's not such a good idea, but we don't have a fascist in the Dáil. In other words, for those who might be right of centre, there's nothing to vote for.
No. There's nothing, but I mean, if you look across Europe, for example, the thing is, the Irish tend not to be extremes. We tend to be moderate. We were, for most of the history of the state, either moderately centre-left or moderately centre-right, which is the reason why, in a lot of elections, I give both Fine Gael and Labour a vote. Mm. We don't have the equivalent of the AFD, we don't have the equivalent of Forza Italia, we don't even have Front National, who
are nowhere near as far right as the media like to say. But what we do have is an absolutely stultifyingly conformist media and academic and political complex, which they all know each other, they all went to the same schools, they all go to the same clubs, and basically the working class aren't allowed in, regular people aren't allowed in, and they have managed very successfully, might I add, I mean, I doff my cap to them, they've managed to brainwash a generation of people that if you use the word far right about somebody, that's pretty much the worst political insult you can use. Like, when was the last time, looking at RTE, did you hear a politician being described as far left?
Yeah, you don't.
Never.
You don't.
You don't. It just doesn't happen. And
just to call out,
and by the way, so Billy Gough, that goes to the way they're treated as well. I mean, I'm living proof of that. If you look at the way I was treated on Drive Time during the election campaign, you know, Éireann O'Riordan was allowed to speak openly without being interrupted on numerous occasions. As soon as I open my mouth, I'm sitting surrounded by five other politicians who are all left wing, by the way. And as soon as I open my mouth, sure, I'm attacked. I'm not even allowed to use words. Like, you can't say illegal immigration. Unfortunately, they tell me that didn't exist. And Éireann is sitting there looking at me, accusing me of setting fire to mill places. You know, or is that the kind of thing that you like? And I said, nay, I think I called him patronising or something like that. I can't remember. But I mean, Niall, everybody's lumped in together.
My biggest bugbear, Niall, is that people before profit have 3% of the popular vote in this country. And Paul Murphy, Richard Boyd-Barrett and Breed Smith are wheeled out on every topic. Every debate show, whether it be news talk.
Well, I think that's because Paul lives around the corner from VMTV. I mean, he's handy, isn't he?
He must be paying for advertising or something with them. But he is.
He's ever off the show
for everything.
Yeah,
and it's a case that, like, I don't agree with people like Justin Barrett or Herman Kelly.
I don't want to keep listing off people's names, but you don't agree with their policies and you don't agree with what they stand for. That's fine.
I don't agree with their policies, politics, or what they stand for. However, people like that don't get really onto RTE. They don't get onto News Talk. They are derided and they are criticised and they're talked about in derogatory manner, but they're not allowed to air their views in the mainstream in the same way that a party that has 3% of the vote is allowed to do on every single issue. And that is wrong.
Well, hang on, because I have another couple of callers to go to. Ian, if you want to stay there, you're quite welcome to stay there and hang on in there for a second.
Cool.
Let me just go to Stephen. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Grand, thank you.
Stephen, I mean, the idea, the use of the terms far right particularly is quite prominent in society and it seems to be a way of just silencing debate and having a chilling effect on debate.
Well, it's your basic point is the way I would describe it is that it's a very easy, lazy way of just saying, well, we probably shouldn't listen to you as much as somebody more moderate or somebody more further to the left.
But you're a lefty, and you're a lefty, but I've never wanted you on the show. You've been on the show many times, and I'm always happy to have you on and listen to what you have to say. I don't agree with most of what you say, but I'm happy to have you on. But I don't refer to you as that Stephen far left fella. I don't want him on the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I consider you to be a fairly reasonable individual and willing to explore both sides of a discussion or every side of a discussion because it's not just A and B. So that's part of the reason I engage, because it is important to have these discussions. And I remember when Paul and Breed and all of those first started appearing and they were rightly rounded on because of their views, because it didn't suit the centrist right narrative. And because they were being questioned in public, the centrist right obviously decided that they were going to go after them. And now their terms have become more mainstream. And to an extent, a lot of the right ideology, conservatism and, maybe even a little bit of liberalism, depending on what your definition of it is and what subject you're talking about, is becoming and has become way more mainstream. You only have to look at, the way certain people are being treated in society. You know,
but is it fair of politicians? Look at this week, for example, with Coolock. Is it fair of politicians and the Taoiseach to turn around and, you know, more or less silence people and say, look, we're going to continue on doing what we're doing. You have no choice in the matter anymore because, look, you're just a bunch of right wing people. Not in those words, obviously, but that's what they're saying.
Obviously, it isn't fair, but it's an inference that a lot of people in the discussion are getting from it, regardless of whether you're left or right or in the middle or, you know, whatever it is the inference. And I would agree with it. But, you know, and shockingly enough, I don't agree with putting people into crowns. That places decrepit, and the designs that I've seen for it are unsatisfactory, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They're inhumane, in my opinion. You know, so while I'm not going to be out setting fire to diggers and lobbing petrol bombs at a Garda station, you know, I'm not going to roll out a red carpet for them.
Okay. The term right-wing in itself, I mentioned there to Ian O'Doherty, journalist of the Irish Independent, who's speaking to us at the moment, is I've really only heard the term being used in the last 5 years. Before that, it just didn't seem to exist in our society. But yet there were conservative people, but we didn't hear the term far-right.
Oh, absolutely. But it was never as big in the public a thing as it is now, which is just the natural evolution of it. You know, people are either getting fed up of not being heard and taking to places like Twitter and Discord.
But it's the NGOs, I think, are partly responsible for this, aren't they? The NGOs partly responsible for this. You yourself, of course, you volunteer with them.
To shut down somebody from saying something.
We see it all the time.
I don't think anyone is calling for anyone to be completely and utterly censored.
Would you stop out of that? We hang on, with the greatest respect, Stephen, we see it all the time.
I'm open to correction.
Ian. Well, hang on, Ian, go ahead. You want to say something to Stephen there? Go ahead.
There were at least 13 NGOs signed a petition of support for the hate speech bill. And there's probably more now.
Right. I'm sure you can understand
NGOs are on the government gravy train. They're taxpayer funded, and
not all
they
of them.
Will not brook any dissent. And all of this is about dissent. Well, when Niall is saying that, you know, 5 years ago we weren't using the phrase far right. No, we were using the phrase fascist or Nazi, and then people realised. Both of those phrases have actually re-emerged in the last 18 months. So it's a dog
certainly
whistle.
More in America
it's a dog
than
whistle.
Here, but yeah, it is. The same way as woke is a dog whistle.
No, it's not. Woke is a philosophy.
You can't argue. And so is fascism. It's all an ideology. So is racism. It's all an ideology. So you can't say that woke isn't a dog whistle. It's just as easy and a lazy way of shutting down.
You're the one who said wokeism is a dog whistle. No, it's like, but basically, here's the thing. If you agree, and this is why I really like J.D. Vance, I don't know about you, but I mean, I stayed up last night. I'm in to look at the Republican.
Sorry, Steve. I'm guilty of losing sleep too, by the way. Can I point out? Yeah, go on.
Well, good for you, but the thing is, as Vance was accused of being far right, and anybody who'd read his book, I reviewed his book, Hillbilly Elegy, when it came out. And a lot of people accused him of being far right, and they were saying that he was a racist. And then he pointed out that his wife is Indian and his three kids are biracial. So that makes him a pretty bad racist.
So how could he possibly be racist? Because he's married to an Indian woman and has biracial children. I couldn't possibly be racist
because
I have black and queer friends. Yeah, I mean,
Stephen, with respect, could you really be honestly racist if you were married to somebody and you had biracial, or an Indian and you had biracial kids? How could you be racist?
Of course you can. Of course you can. You can still say, I don't want these people here, or these people are a threat to my children, these people
are criminals,
etc. That's not racist.
That's an opinion. Well, that's not racist. That's an opinion.
If
you're talking
it
about illegal immigration.
No,
if you talk about illegal immigration, then the people might be a threat to somebody else, or a culture, threat to a culture. That's not racism. That's just an opinion. It's really easy to use the word racism.
Opinion, but Yeah, but in the same way as a gay person can be homophobic. A person who is black can also be racist. or a person who's Asian or a person who's
Indian. I'm well aware a person who's black or Asian can be racist. I'm just saying, clearly, if he's married to an Indian woman and has biracial children, or biracial children, he can't be all that bad. He can't. No, that's patronizing. He can't. I don't understand how you can be racist.
But there's more racism.
Ian, go ahead. Sorry, Stephen. Go ahead, Ian.
Look, to take JD, to go back very briefly to JD Vance, all he wants is a strong border. That's it.
Mm.
And I want strong borders in Ireland. I want strong borders in Europe. I am pro-legal immigration. I think every society needs legal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Cultural and a variety of different reasons, but I don't want undocumented, unvetted immigrants coming in because we don't know who they are.
So here's the question: and what do you do expect with the people that aren't able to access a safe and legal route across the country? They either don't have the money for it,
there's no relationship
between our country and their country.
Oh, look! If you just let me finish. What we're seeing...
Okay, please don't say that.
Particularly in England, and we're getting the fallout from this, is they're coming through France. Is anybody going to say that France isn't a safe and legal country? Right? The resentment that is growing is immense. And you're not going to be able to put the toothpaste back into the tube.
Okay, well, hang on, because I have loads and loads of people to go to. I know Billy just wants to say something very quickly as well. Sorry, Billy, go ahead.
I'd agree with Ian there. Like, he's right. There is a definite feeling of anger and resentment that's been built in communities, probably communities that have not been well represented by politicians over the last couple of decades. And he's right. Once they are... It takes one charlatan or one populist to come in and direct that anger at a group, and that's where this is going to go. I think it's only a matter of time until something very tragic and regrettable happens in this country, because people have been stoked up and pushed to do something. I think it's going to be a regrettable incident will happen, unfortunately.
All right, well, listen, I got to go to another caller. Ian O'Doherty, journalist with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on to talk to us today. Stephen, stay with me as well. Billy, thank you very much indeed, because I just have to free up lines. Thank you. Let me go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
I'm good, Maureen. Okay, this term far right, you're a far right person, aren't you, allegedly?
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. It was based on what I'm led to believe, you know, people with far right, the types of views they have on life. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's just a synonym. Yeah. It's for mind control.
Yeah.
Do you remember back when all this bloody nonsense started, the first scam? Me and more like me, we were treated exactly like the Jews are in Nazi Germany. I was just short of putting a yellow star on my jacket going out on the street. When I wasn't allowed to enter a premises because I refused to take something I had no trust in. And now they're using these terms. What they do is, some people believe it's the CIA coined it. They didn't. It was the KGB. It's a form of mind control. When you have repetitive words all the time, it's like hypnosis by words. It's what they're doing.
The power of suggestion.
Because at this point,
yes.
Now, that is the only thing that they have left in their weaponry, as we say. And anybody who disagrees with them are far right.
I mean, Stephen, she makes a fair point. COVID-19 is a great example of where this all kind of started to really erupt, right? I mean, you know, she's right in relation to, you know, at the time, by the way, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I am pro-choice. In other words, when it comes to vaccinations. In other words, if you want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you don't, you don't. But the people who decided not to get vaccinated, their choice, by the way, their choice, who decided not to get vaccinated, you know, that was their choice, but they were villainized. She was right about the yellow star. She might as well have had the yellow star. I heard qualified, credible presenters on radio referring to people who didn't get vaccinated as Nazis. You know what I mean? That's how bad it got. I mean, this idea of villainizing people over choices they make in their life.
Well, again, I'm totally against something like that. And that's the presenter's point of view and their opinion. I think it's very sketchy to start comparing yourself to a Jew during 1930s Germany, but I'll leave it at that.
But then, I don't think so. I understand what you're talking about. It's not a good analogy from that point of view. 6 million people being killed, I get that. But the point she was making is,
nobody is out to hunt and round up the right people.
Well, hang on. There was a suggestion at the time that, you know, those who didn't want to get vaccinated shouldn't be allowed into pubs, shouldn't be allowed into restaurants, should be fired from their jobs. You know, we don't even want to speak
to
them.
Based on the health prevalence theories at the time.
The media played a huge role in villainizing people, allowing intellectuals to come onto the radio and refer to people like Maureen as attempted murderers.
Because it made for a really good story. It got really good engagement, whether it was good, bad, or the other. And, you know, everybody, including yourself, with all due respect, has done something like that at different points in their careers. You know, and use what is going on in order to get the content views that they wanted and boost themselves. Mm. So while it's not right, it absolutely isn't. You know, I can see exactly why people were doing it.
Yeah, sorry, Maureen, continue what you're saying.
And I don't agree with trying to villainize somebody who didn't get vaccinated. You know, I have family members that didn't get vaccinated. Their choice.
But the point Maureen is making, this is when this kind of left-right thing seemed to really erupt, because I remember at the time I was described by Kinsian, who did this report up for the government versus Stephen Donnelly, as a right-wing broadcaster who is anti-establishment and anti, COVID rules or whatever it was. I can't remember what they described me as. Just because I questioned it. Just because I stood up for the likes of Maureen, for example, who said, I believe Maureen should have a choice. Mm. Leave Maureen alone. You know what I mean? Sorry, Maureen, finish what you were saying. No,
you're right, Niall. And to say to you, Stephen.
Sorry, Maureen, go ahead.
I've heard you. Yeah, no, I've heard you now. You yourself use all these terms. The likes of me, you would call homophobic, because I don't agree with the practice of homosexuality. Doesn't mean to say I hate the person. It is my own personal opinion. But yet I'm labelled with this label. And this is the problem. People
as
are getting labels put on them. They have no sense or meaning to them. Plus.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
You go down through history, you go down through any time in history. The first time we actually heard of the term fascist was Mussolini. You need to study Mussolini in depth to get a handle on what we're actually dealing with. And we have, I don't call them government anymore, I call them just a shower of traitors that are sitting in Leinster House, who are actually defiled, in my opinion, Leinster House. They do not work for the Irish people. The Irish people need to wake up and understand this. They are World Economic Forum, United Nations, EU puppets.
I mean, okay, but I want to come back to something Stephen said there a minute ago. Sorry, you said, Stephen, I'm referred to as woke or left, right? And I do that out of fun sometimes. I don't actually mean any harm by it. But here's the thing, right? That's not seen as a bad thing in society. You know, me calling you woke or a lefty, you know, it's not...
Many of the people who are calling into your show would see it as a bad thing and would happily kind of target me and use the same words again.
Ah, no, I don't think so. I don't think you get targeted certainly as much in the media as somebody who would be like me and have more conservative views. I mean, look at the targeting I got when I ran for election. I mean, some of the stuff that was said about me was horrendous. And I mean horrendous. Mm-hmm. It was defamation. There were threats. And a lot of that was coming, by the way, by paid NGOs. One particular paid NGO was quite happy to refer to me as things that I wasn't. Despicable things, right? And they're a paid NGO, an NGO that's constantly going on about hate speech, an NGO that's constantly talking, or that's allegedly a trusted flagger with Commissioner Mann, and yet they use hateful terms to refer to me. You know what I mean? But they're okay because they're left wing. Mm. That's okay. They're allowed to do it. It's okay.
But you know, Niall?
Yeah, but
you're just as entitled as
you and I and Maureen are to raise complaints against them.
Mm. Well, how far would you get? And unless you've got a big bank balance, defamation cases are not that easy to take. Anyway, but stay there for a second, because I have loads of people to get to, and I'm running out of time here now very quickly. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you doing?
Okay, who are the far right? Yeah, who are the far right?
God knows at this stage of the game. It means nothing. Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember in the pandemic or whatever, wash your hands, it became this mantra, wash your hands, wash your hands. And then it just went, you were saying, oh, shut up.
Yeah. So Joe Duffy was, do you remember Joe Duffy was doing call 1850 for 1410? Well, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands.
There you go. That's far right to me. Yeah. You know, wash your hands, you know. It just doesn't mean anything. And I think I agree with some of the speakers, Ian Doherty, what he was talking about. But I feel, you know, that I would have been what I would call a left liberal thinking person. Who's now, I would be labelled a biggest far right something or other now. It's just amazing. And I think I agree with you that this was not something that was around 5 years ago, you know, with that label. But I think what Ian said is really kind of really important, that it's all the same people who went to the same school, who went to the same clubs, you know. You and I aren't invited into those places, you know. This is for all, for the elite. And this is what they spit out all of the time.
The same colleges, the same colleges as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like this, you know, and they know whatever their agenda is. But us, you know, taxpayers, and us, the ones that keep the bloody country afloat, are told to shut up and we're bigots.
I mean, could you imagine a professor in, you know, Maynooth or UCD or Trinity or whatever, right? As Stephen turned around tomorrow and said, I don't agree gay men should be allowed to get married. I don't agree with their lifestyle, right? Just let's say he said that. He'd be cancelled. He'd be out of a job. I'm talking about right now, Stephen, right? He'd be out of a job, right? I can tell you now, he'd be out of a job. Yet, there are lecturers, professors in these colleges. I'm not going to mention, there's one in particular online, a complete asshole, so please don't mention his name because I've now just called him an asshole, right? And some of the stuff that he says is just outrageous left-wing, if you want to refer to it as left-wing, rhetoric. It's and the condemnation of anybody that has conservative views is outrageous. And yet, he gets away with it.
Yeah, well, you see, they're allowed to say and call names and call everybody a bigot who doesn't agree with them. And as you say the most horrendous
things. Oh, he called me a fascist and everything,
But it's now becoming it's not laughable. I'm not, you know, it isn't becoming that. It's becoming, I'm really getting angry with this, you know. Now, bring it on. Do you know what I mean? That's what I feel. That's absolutely the way I feel. I think that, you know, the fact that one can't have a debate about anything, about somebody throwing their eyes up to heaven, you know, you're one of those. That's another thing that you are, you know, they don't call you far right. You're one of those. Because you have concerns about children. You have concerns about women's, you know, spaces. You have concerns about anything. And another thing that really has got me to the point where I honestly, if a spaceship came down this minute, and I hate flying, I'd get into it. The world's gone nuts.
I mean, yeah, she's right, Stephen. Look what happened to J.K. Rowling. I know you don't like J.K. Rowling, Stephen. I'm aware of that.
I wouldn't exactly be her biggest fan.
No.
But she has her right to free speech as much as everybody else. Nobody's saying that you can't come on and attack the left and you can't, you know, say X, Y, and Z and you
Which
can't
other
express
station
your concerns.
Can you do
because,
that? Do you mind me asking you? You know,
I'm sure I've heard it on Joe and places like that, but I'm not playing as much of it. But hang on, Ian and people like that are on News Talk and Virgin Media all the time. Maybe not so much on RTE, but they're on News Talk and Virgin Media all the time.
They wouldn't be able to say what they say in this podcast.
Have a bit of balance.
Yeah, but they,
no.
Yeah, they would.
I've heard him say, There's I have no heard balance. Ian in particular say things like that on broadcast media. Okay? That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I don't believe they get away with as much on broadcast media because I know it because I work on broadcast media. And for example, I have to obviously monitor much more what's said on my radio show than I do on this podcast. It's very different. When somebody says something that could be considered, I suppose, you know, hateful, if that's the
and
word
is that
you want
a,
to do.
Is it a bad thing that you have to monitor? And
no, well, that's the broadcasting rules. By the way, I accept the broadcasting regulations, right? But when they say something, I have an immediate reaction, whether I agree with it or disagree with it, I have an immediate reaction that I must challenge that view, right? And so I do challenge people's views a lot more, whereas I give people a bit more freedom on the podcast to say what they want. Sorry, very quickly, Gladys, go ahead.
Can I just ask a question what people would think? I'd be really interested. Maybe I'm off the mark altogether. A new NGO gig that has been, you know, Dr. Joseph or you know, who is going to educate us in that we're racist.
Yeah, that's right.
And how to, and we don't know we are.
A boon. She's not a doctor, I don't think. She it's a doctorate. Well, no, she got online or something like that. Yeah.
Look, that's €100. I think you can get them, and they're great.
I could be Dr. Niall Boylan tomorrow if I wanted to be. By the way, can I just say, as a point of interest, and I know it's completely off the topic, you should not be allowed to use should not be allowed to use the term doctor before your name, as far as I'm concerned, unless you're an actual doctor.
Well, this is it, and this also now what. I've forgotten his name, just Stephen.
Stephen,
would you call her far right or far left?
Eboon, you're talking about Eboon Joseph, who I had an interaction with, who she accused me of being a racist, by the way, many years ago on VMTV. She said we need to be all educated on racism. She's now been given some fancy smancy job at an NGO, being paid a huge amount of money to tell us all that we're racists, you know?
Well, having conversations and awareness sessions and things like that around what it is and what it isn't and people's interpretation and when it might cross the line and things like that is all important. It is all part of having these bigger conversations, which are important to how we structure and accept things in society. So I'm not against things like that.
Okay, so let me go to Tommy.
Go on.
Tommy, hi, how are you? Sorry, I'm running out of time. Tommy, hi.
Are you well?
I'm good. Tommy, getting back to, you know, the right and the left and this idea that, you know, every time we mention bad stuff on the news, it's the rise of the right. Is it time we stop using these labels? Are they too divisive?
Well, whoever controls the language controls the culture, as far as I'm concerned. I don't mind people using the labels if they're accurate.
Are they ever accurate?
No, they started using far right for me. I started hearing it when Brexit popped up, and Tommy Robinson was getting some attention because he was highlighting issues in the Muslim grooming gangs.
Which, by the way, it turned out eventually we now know he was right.
He was proved 100% right.
Yeah, he was ahead of the posse, I suppose. Yeah,
he's a working class lad, and he also was tied up with soccer hooliganism, which is always linked to far right. Ideology. Like I said, people don't even know what the far right means anymore. It's banded around so much. And listen, we're guilty of using woke and far left. I don't think we have really far right politicians in this country. I know in France, left to centre, we would consider that far right. And the far right over in France and in Holland and in Germany, we probably have them deported. And this is brought up by the media and by politicians. Will politicians be dismissive of working class people that are affected by immigration and these asylum seekers coming in? The next word that's going to be starting banded about is Islamophobia. When we're getting more African and Middle Eastern Muslims, anyone from Kulak or Mount Kennedy, we're going to start hearing the conversation.
I know. I was accused of being an Islamophobe during the week, actually. What I did was I just put up a tweet in reference to that young lady who was in Dubai and how the government condemned, you know, this kind of antiquated treatment of women by men who still hold these cultural values, which are, and according to the government, are very, very wrong. But yet we allow people in this country who are part of that religion of Islam. I'm not talking about everybody who's a Muslim, by the way. There are some, obviously. Some people take their religion quite seriously. To treat women in that same manner, and we're completely silent on it. We just allow it to happen. And I was called an Islamophobe for pointing that out. Is that Islamophobic, Stephen, by the way? Is it?
I think there's an argument for calling it Islamophobic. You're pointing out the cultural and stuff and societal beliefs of Muslim people. But
yeah,
at the same point, we were on discussing a couple of days ago about whether or not we have the right to interfere in people's cultures.
Well, we do if they're in our own country, not if they're not in our own country.
Country, everybody should be able to live the way they want to live.
That's absolute and utter nonsense, Stephen, and you know that. You know that's nonsense. People should not be allowed to live the way they want to live. That's absolutely. I mean, we have freedoms, absolutely, and we live in the Western world. Thankfully, we have a lot of freedoms. But you say, for example, you can't grow up. You're not allowed to live in Ireland if you have values, and your values consist of treating women like second class citizens. That's unacceptable in society, in our society. You want to do that? Go to a country where they accept that.
We better deport a significant population of the male Irish.
Well, no. What we need to do is we need to educate people that that's not the way you treat women. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be acceptable. No more, by the way, than I would accept Catholicism, you know, telling people how to live their lives in Ireland.
But who does the education? The NGOs that are saying that, you know, women shouldn't be treated like this and we should work with the Muslim population to foster better living standards and acceptance of women and their culture according to our standards in this country.
And can I say, many Muslims don't treat women like that, can I just point out, because they're culturally different, because they've lived in the Western world and they live in Ireland a long time and their families in second generation, etc., etc. But unfortunately, you cannot condemn the behaviour of men, you know, in other countries who treat women badly because they're a part of Islam or they're part of the Muslim community, and then stay silent on people doing exactly the same thing in your own country. That does not make any sense. Sorry, Tommy, just to finish what you were saying there, Tommy, I diverse slightly. I want to go to Jason.
Well, I know you have it, Theo, but there is a very serious issue with age of consent when it comes to men and women, and it's happening in England at the moment. Like, they don't believe in an age of consent. They believe if a woman has a mature body that they are ready to have a child. It doesn't matter if they're 13 or 14.
I don't know if everybody who believes in Islam believes that, by the way. That's like suggesting everybody who believes in Catholicism believes in something that would be reasonably... It depends on your interpretation.
I'm just saying they have a higher...
But here's the thing. We have laws. We don't allow people to get married under the age of 17 in this country. We have laws in this country. You can't have sex under the age of 17 because it's the age of consent. And if anybody, no matter what religion they happen to be, breaks those laws, they should go to jail. End of story.
We can't make the same mistake as what our country's afraid to approach these communities because we're going to be labelled racist with NGOs.
Yeah, and you are right.
We have to be grown up about this. NGOs are coming in and they have an agenda. The most racist people are people on the left because they want to baby people that are minorities. They want to keep themselves on a higher level and say, we're mistreating you. And they're like Kathy Bates in Misery. They want to keep people of minorities down. And also they get a financial reward for it. I have no time for NGOs and I have no time for labels far left or right. I think we need to go back to common sense and we need to be adults when it comes to emigration, integration. We just need to grow up a bit.
Okay.
Politicians calling everyone far right, you know, something has to be. And to look to yourself, Niall, you're doing a great job and I really do appreciate it.
Thanks.
I'm going to go back to work now. Have a good day, right?
All right, enjoy the conversation. Thanks very much indeed, Tommy. Let me go to Jason as well. Jason, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you today, pal?
Are you far right as well, are you? Are you right wing? What are you?
I'll have a bit of the wing. I'll have a bit of the tie. I'll have a bit of the breast. Give me everything on the far right.
Yeah.
Niall, come on. I mean, words are important. Words have meaning. I've been having this conversation with my 14-year-old daughter and it's like bashing my head off a wall. When you say okay, it's okay is okay, but then how you say it. I've been telling you can say it was the same word in two different ways and it'll give you two different answers.
I get the point.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look how we've changed words now around, okay? The war, refugees, economic migrants. Now every mainstream media is referring to them as international protection. And why? Because doesn't that sound great? We're part of the international protection squad. Let's go, squad. But you see where I'm coming from with that? They're using these words that if you go against that, what is wrong with you? You don't want to protect people.
Yeah, no, I know. Language is really important. I understand how language can be used to manipulate people, yes.
And that's exactly what they're doing. We have a generation now that think they're the most progressive generation of people ever to walk the face of the earth. These are right. Everything they say is right. If you go against them, you're wrong. As Stephen said, everybody should be able to live their life the way they want. No, they shouldn't. We have to have rules in society. If not, we'll have a breakdown in society. Because there's people out there that want to drive at 180 miles an hour up and down your street. So should they be allowed to do what they want? No, we put rules in place because why? That type of carry-on will kill people. So, you know, we put rules in place. People should be able to live a free life without persecution, yes, but not to do whatever they want. Because what happens when you let a child loose in a sweet shop? It'll eat all the sweets till it gets sick. That's what, as human beings, that's what we are. If we're given free rein over anything, we'll
give us an inch, we'll take a mile. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, that's just human nature. Everybody, as a human being, our number one thing is to get one up on the next person. I mean, the top of the food, the top of the table eats all the food. You know, that's fed. So as a species, we've always, I think, geared for that. You want to be better than the person. You don't want to be the one at the bottom of the ladder. But this generation think we have to be up there and everybody's equal, everybody's the same. Unfortunately, we're not.
Okay, getting back to the original story, when I started, obviously, you know, nobody wants to see politicians' lives being threatened because that's unacceptable, right? In any society, by the way, and in any civilized society, it's unacceptable and people should never do things like that, threaten harm or the lives of politicians. But when that was reported yesterday, it was reported as, you know, it's only a matter of time before it happens here with the rise of the right. Not the rise of the left, by the way, who are equally responsible for killing people and attacking politicians and shooting politicians around the world. You know, so it's always the right. The right are bad. Are the right unfairly targeted then?
Well, of course, yeah, and that's the perfect label. What was Nazism? Far right. Fascism? Far right. So as soon as that was put on it, and as soon as you put that label onto anybody now, it's going to mean something, and people are going to get scared of it. Oh, I'm being put in the same box as the Nazis. Oh, I'm being put in the same box as fascism.
And you know, by the way, the same goes with this hate speech bill. I mean, the whole purpose, sorry, just to come back to Stephen, of this alleged hate speech bill, which I think is absolutely outdated and Orwellian and all sorts of things. We'll get into it another day. But the idea is to silence the far right. And we've heard that on numerous occasions, that we need the hate speech bill because of the rise of the far right. Politicians have said it, Stephen. And yet, I can go to a protest tomorrow, which would say be pro-trans, and I would see people with, you know, banners saying all TERFs must die. You know, so that's okay, seemingly. You know, so this hate speech bill is just for the far right, you know. And will probably just apply to the far right. Yeah,
it signs like that don't get challenged as much as they should. And people in our community should be challenging those signs just as much as, you know, the likes of JK or Kelly J or whoever it is having a, you know, only women have a cervix or something like that. Or women are biological human females. You know, adult human females is the description. Have you, like,
aren't they? Hang on. There's a big difference in women are biological human females. There's a big difference in holding a banner up saying women are biological human females to all TERFs must die. One is an opinion and one is a threatening statement.
Yeah, I agree. And they should be challenged. But the context, as was said by, I think, your previous caller, the context of the words matter. You know, the way it's being said, the way it's being used to shut out anybody who isn't, as I said, born or assigned physically female. You know, anyone who is assigned physically female but can't have children, are they less women? But this is a whole other argument. I would still call them women as well. But the way the argument is being presented, arguably, people who are in those situations could feel like they're being excluded just as much as the trans community.
That's like me saying I'm 60, but I look 40. So does that mean I'm actually 40?
So hang on a second, will you? The point I was trying to make about the hate speech bill, because that's what you asked me about, that the 89 bill is not all that dissimilar to the current draft that I've read. Now, I haven't seen the amendments. I actually must get in touch with the senator or two and see if I can get hold of the amendments. It didn't work the last time because they obviously don't want to share these kinds of things. But the way I read the current bill and the 89 bill, they're very much the same document, and it hasn't been actively used to shut anybody up.
Well, here's the thing. Yesterday I heard mention when they were talking about the escalation of targeted online abuse towards Mary Lou MacDonald. You know, I heard a politician saying this is exactly why we need the hate speech bill. And I'm going, actually, no, because what is happening to Mary Lou at the moment, Andrew Harris and anybody else that would have serious threats of harm like that, is already illegal under the law. It's already illegal.
It's incitement to violence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry, let me go to Carl as well. I know he's on his break there and he's holding. Sorry, Jason. Carl, hi.
How's it, man? How are you?
Good, Carl. I mean, okay, getting back to the far right, you know what I mean? Is it time we start cooling down the language, stop using divisive terms like far right or far left, for that matter? Is it time we get rid of these terms?
Well, when Helen McEntee was asked to give a definition of far right, she couldn't really give one. She said it was someone, people that are anti-government or anti-immigration. So, I mean, how can you be calling someone far right when you can't even really define
it? So you disagree with the government, you're a fascist. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe that's where politics has gone, the same with mainstream media over the last 10 years. It's gone right across Europe and in America. And really, I feel it's come from kind of this cancel culture where people were silenced for having their own views and their opinions, you know, and people were seen as it was offensive. Now, if people are being extreme and they say things that are derogatory or absolute racist, you know what I mean, then they deserve to lose their jobs. When people have an opinion and they start getting losing their jobs or cancelled or vilified online, that's where this problem has come from. And it's then now from where people now, like, if they disagree with you, they were getting cancelled, you know what I mean? And I believe now we're seeing people not really caring anymore what people are saying. And I think that's what government and media are starting to fear now. So they've labelled people with far right as if this boogeyman, that they're a threat to democracy and things like that. But where you have our own government that is not really willing to have an open discussion about the left as well, as you were saying. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're trying to say the far right is a threat to democracy, but they don't pull people up for extreme views maybe on the left. So it's all bullshit, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard very extreme left-wing views and seen very extreme left-wing views here in Ireland online recently. And these are by academics, alleged academics.
I know which one you're talking
about. Don't mention his name.
Yeah, I won't. Complete gobshite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But here's the thing. But they do it, and he's not the only one. There's a couple of other ones as well, right? There was one had a fair go at me constantly all the time during the campaign, the election campaign, and it was a paid NGO, right? And I won't go into who he is as well, but he uses the most hateful language online. And yet these are paid NGOs. These would be considered left-wing, liberal voices. But they just, they speak with some sort of impunity that there's nobody ever questions what they say, even though it's equally, if not worse, than anything I've seen on some of the right-wing pages.
Yeah, they've gotten into positions of power now, and so they just have the power to shut people down, which they have been for the last number of years, but now it's not working anymore. So now you're seeing the likes of people being called far-right, racist, fascist, Nazi, white supremacist. I see that a lot as well, and it's getting out of hand. It's ridiculous. You're debating us. You are not allowed to say we need to make sure the people that are coming in are not nefarious people. And Aidan O'Riordan interrupted you, as he always does whenever he's on any talk shows, and wouldn't let you speak, and he was like, what do you mean nefarious people? Now, I'm not going to go into any specific cases, but there was a case there even recently, right, where a guy came into the country 4 days and tried to sexually assault a woman, and he's been jailed, okay? That's a nefarious person.
Of course it's a nefarious person.
And he's trying to say, what do you mean? There's no nefarious. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous, and I'm so pissed off with this mainstream media and politicals not saying what's right in front of them.
There were two instances of that same show. One was I wasn't allowed to use the word illegal immigration, and the presenter even said I wasn't allowed to use the term illegal immigration because it didn't exist. And that's the kind of shite you're dealing with, Stephen, that I did in the debate refer to. You know, we have to be conscious, protect our borders, and we have a duty as a country and as a government to protect our borders and protect our citizens. You go against them who may, and I said maybe nefarious people. And I wasn't allowed to say it.
No, and like, look, there's laws in place. If you come in without
that's the fault of the presenter.
Sorry, Stephen.
I said it's the fault of the presenter. It's a lazy way of not having a proper discussion about it. You just say, okay, shut it down, you know, because she's probably got time constraints and she's got X, Y, and Z and has
other. Yeah.
Okay, no, I only saw. I think the only one that comes to mind was seeing you on The Week in Politics. But anyway, it's keeping to a narrative. You're right. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it is. It's just keeping the narrative going. No one else that's supposedly centre or right is not allowed to talk. You shut your mouth and be a good little boy and just sit there and say no. Same way with the protests going on these days. Simon Harris says he welcomes protests and this and that. But the protests haven't done anything. The government have not sat down with local councillors or anything like that to go, right, let's find the middle ground here. No, it's basically have your little protest. Hopefully you get bored. Hopefully you go home. And if you don't, we're going to come in and use force to remove you. And that's it. So fuck off, basically. That's what's happening nowadays. So he's talking about the threat of the far right to democracy, but yet they're not willing to sit down with people and have a conversation, meet halfway at the table. So they're trying to say a threat is coming from democracy, from the far right, but yet they're not willing to sit down. It's complete hypocrisy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Carl. They are the threat to democracy, the real threat to democracy, the government. Thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Rory. Rory, hi, how are you?
Niall, not bad, yeah. How are you?
Good point made by Carl there. They accuse the far right as a threat to democracy, with, obviously referring to the people in Coolock currently, but yet this is the same government who don't listen to the people anymore. So realistically, they're the real threat to democracy if they're not listening to people.
Yeah. Extremely authoritarian government. You know, I mean, that hate speech bill, it's more than that. It's thought crime, basically. I mean, Joseph Stalin couldn't have even come up with that. You know, they're dragging us to authoritarian totalitarianism. And I was delighted during the week someone resurrected a tweet from Helen McEntee where she was celebrating the Black Lives Matter movement, specifically, you know, crying how police were dealing with them when they were burning down cities. She's an absolute disgrace. You know, and she also...
Well, yes, I did see that tweet, which was really hypocritical based on what she's saying to us now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she owes an apology to people in Coolock and Clonmel and Newtown on Kennedy. I actually don't think she knows. Like a lot of the wokesters, who knows what she believes? Like, I think she knows she doesn't know a lot, so she's to do what her globalist paymasters demand that she do.
She's answerable to her own government. But in saying that, getting back
80%.
Okay, getting back to, I suppose, what we're talking about. Do you believe, you know, this kind of label of right wing or the rise of the right? There's equally a rise of the left, but we don't discuss that because it's not seen as some sort of negative thing. So that's the default, I believe. Is this dangerous language? Is it dangerous language?
It's dangerous. Well, it's a slur. And as you said, they always mix up the terms, which means that, like, a Nazi is very different to a fascist. Very different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they just do it. Either because they don't know, they're uneducated, or it's just a smear. I wouldn't accept there's an equal. I think we've gone too left-wing. We're actually the worst of global capitalism. The middle class has been destroyed in this country. We're going to have a permanent underclass, a very wealthy elite, the worst of capitalism, and then all this woke stuff, you know, to keep us in line. The race stuff, the women, it's just this... It's just the popular, trendy new thing, isn't it? But I think it's very, very dangerous and not equal either because, you know, a black person can't be racist to a white person. Mm. We have that lady told lies about Irish history.
No, but that would just go to show you, by the way, in relation to that particular story, that's a huge story, by the way, about the 61 Nigerians involved in the gang. That story, it was out there the day before yesterday, but it kind of didn't get front page news. It didn't get anywhere, actually, to be honest with you. And yet it's a massive story, international story, of this crime gang operating in Ireland of 61 Nigerians. And it hasn't been anywhere. And Stephen, the reason is very obvious why it's not being covered by the media is because it stokes hatred.
Well, yeah, it's unfair to say that all Nigerians are all criminals and
of course
gangs.
It's unfair to say that.
But at the same point, you know, calling a minister incompetent, as much as I may agree, you know, is as much a way of trying to justify attacking her and making bomb threats against her family.
No, it's not. We're not allowed to call somebody incompetent in their job.
Play it the same way on both sides.
But hold on, Stephen, with the greatest respect, it's fair. If you believe somebody who's in a position of power and is getting well paid to do a particular type of job and is unorganised or doesn't seem to know what's going on in her own department, there's nothing... You can't refer to it as anything but incompetence. That's not a slur.
Yeah, but then moving to calling her a traitor and a threat to, you know, the good, honest Irish people.
That is the next escalation.
Yeah, but he didn't say that. And if somebody says that, I'll challenge them. What I'm saying, that may be the next escalation for people who are on the extreme fringes.
Yes. But
there's nothing wrong with calling people incompetent.
It's because it's becoming more prevalent and less challenged that people feel more emboldened to do what they want to do and cause problems on the left or the right or the centre. Because these things aren't properly thrashed out and given the air that they need, sunlight being the best disinfectant, you know, these things fester and they move to Twitter and they move to everything else. And then all of a sudden a bomb threat gets made or a death threat against a politician, or eventually a politician gets killed in broad daylight.
And nobody wants to see that. And I appeal to all people. And by the way, if anybody threatens anybody's threatens harm or anybody's life, be it online or anywhere, they should be charged
and should
be jailed.
But when people are silent,
I would 100%
Sorry, Rory, go ahead, Rory.
All, Yeah, I mean, all democratic avenues and legal avenues as well were closed off to people. You know, so that's kind of explains why some people take to
it.
And he makes a good point, Stephen, in relation to, say, the accommodation in Coolock, if we come back to that. You know, the government essentially took away the veto. In other words, they made sure there was legislation in place that they could open up accommodation for anybody without planning permission because we're in an emergency, right? So they took away that piece of legislation. So you can go and object to anything in your area legitimately and delay it or whatever it is because you have a right to do that as a citizen. But when it comes to asylum seekers and accommodation, you have no right. So when you take away that legal avenue,
development now, I can't go and register a complaint against a housing development unless I'm part of a residents' association that has been in place for 2 years, has accounts and everything else. Now those are the rules.
Yeah, okay, but there still is a legal avenue. There's no legal avenue for the people of Coolock, none.
Yeah, but me or the average other person in Coolock, unless we are members of the residents' association, can't do fuck all. Or we won't get taken seriously.
Yeah, but they do have a residents association. And there was communication with the government. But the government said there was communication with the people of Coolock. But the only communication was, we're building it, we're putting them in there, and you've no choice. That's the only communication. Basically, that's not communication, that's dictation. Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay, hang on. Sorry, you agree with that, Stephen, do you? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because the government wouldn't know how to open their mouths if I went and opened their mouth, you know?
Okay. Well, hang on, because I've only got two more people to go to, and I need to get them quickly. Sorry, Nuala. Hi, Nuala. Hi, how are you? Sorry for keeping you so long. I do apologize.
How are you?
I'm sorry, Nuala. Go ahead.
It's okay. No, I just know people in the past. I know people from Coolock are very nice people and that. But I think it's not fair to those people because, I mean...
You've been placed on hold. Please wait.
Oh, she's gone. Nuala, are you there? She must have hit her face off the button on the side of the phone. Nuala, hi. Nuala, you there?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you cut yourself off there. You put me on hold.
The Labour Party from the past that came on. But anyway, no, I mean, if I wanted to have a few hens out the back and start building a shed for them, I mean, everybody, the whole city council would be down on top of me in about a half an hour. Mm. You know, so how can... And I mean, I kind of indirectly know people that come from the Roscahill area outside Galway there, around my Cullen. And normal people, you know. Why should you impose these things on people that are kind of vulnerable or don't have as much say as if I was living in Stillorgan or I was living in Raheny or out around where Bono lives, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can see that. Even in the 70s, when I used to live in Dublin, I could see the division. The division is there. And they slump everything on one side and they can see the... Like, even, say, the Dart, it goes from, say, Greystones over to Holt. It doesn't go into other areas. I mean... It's a divided city.
Well, we talked about this earlier. That's classism. That's what that is. And it's blatant classism. By the way, getting back to Nuala, the far right or the far left, do you class yourself as right wing, left wing, or you know wing?
Well, some people would. I believe in social welfare backup, you know, for housing and I believe in universal health. But I would be a practicing Catholic at the same time. Some people would think, oh, yeah. Somebody said to me, what do you do before when I was in the Labour Party? What are you doing in the Labour Party? You know, a normal practicing Catholic wouldn't be in the Labour Party. Do you know? And some Labour Party would be saying the same thing. Like, I mean, just because you have certain views on, you know, that everybody should have the same dignity when it comes to health and when it comes to... you know, and that people on...
Well, I'm assuming then you disagree with abortion.
Then you're going to be
just siphoned into a little, you know, pigeonhole because you're right wing. You're right wing. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, I'm still left wing at the same. But then I can write with both hands, you see.
This is the problem, Stephen, right? Nuala is a very learned person. She has opinions on a lot of things, different types of opinions on a lot of things, but doesn't agree with abortion. So as soon as somebody finds that out or she mentions that in a conversation, she's lumped in with the right wing. She's a right winger. Let's not bother listening to everything else she has to say. And that's a problem.
Yeah, just as much as I get lumped in with the right wing for agreeing with some of the things that you and your callers are saying as well, you know, but we're not a single kind of thought process species. We're allowed to have, we used to be
allowed. Yeah, but we used to be allowed to have contradictory thoughts.
It's just that there are so many. We still have them. It's just what we do with them. That's where the difference is.
Well, I'm right wing, am I? You know, so I'm told. And, you know, Boylan's a right wing broadcaster, you know, yet I voted yes for marriage equality. Does that make me left wing? You know what I mean? So, I mean. Go ahead.
What about the Irish government and all the other governments all over the world making big agreements with Saudi Arabia and with the United Emirates, and they don't kind of say, oh, well, we can't make agreements with them because such a thing, they don't treat women right. No, I think, you see, this hypocrisy is just rampant all over the world, and it's rampant in government. I don't think you could stay in government very long without being one hell of a cute whore. And I think... And I said that to one person that has ambitions to go further. I said, well, are you a cute whore? You have to be a cute whore if you want to go further, because you'll have to be compromising and slipping and sliding at times.
I tell you what, I love that line in Irish politics. He's a cute whore. I tell you what, that'll be banned next day. So you can't say that. It's a disparaging comment against sex workers. All right, let me go to Karen. Karen, hi, how are you doing?
Hello, my fellow right-winger. How are you today?
Yeah, a fellow right-winger, yeah. Oh, jeez, I'm just looking at some really bad news. Just come in here. Ursula von der Leyen has just won second term as EU Commission President. She's been voted in. I can't believe it.
Oh,
go on.
Oh, God. Here we go. Left-wing, right-wing. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We never, you know, when it comes to, as you rightly said at the top of the show, when it comes to the violence of the left, it's always acceptable. Look, and a perfect example was last Saturday. Donald Trump will be considered, well, fascist right wing. Yet, and all his supporters are right wing, which is after the assassination attempt in his life. I didn't see any businesses being looted. There was no burning cities. There was no cars being set on fire. Nothing happened. Just, you had probably 100 plus American people pissed off that their nominee was trying to be taken out. There was no violence. Now, if that had been Joe Biden, you'd have, how many cities in America would have been burning to the ground within hours?
Yeah, particularly in America, the left seem to be much fonder of violent protests than the right.
Absolutely. Look at 2020, George Floyd, a criminal. A criminal got murdered. Well, you don't think he got murdered, because the evidence afterwards said that's not what happened. However, the whole world took to the streets. There was pallets of bricks everywhere. Burning cities, looting, and then you'd see CNN.
Was he actually murdered? Or, well, of course, there's evidence suggests now that he died of a fentanyl overdose, but however.
Exactly. It's a separate conversation. But you'd see CNN, mostly peaceful, while buildings in the background on fire. The whole world. Mm. And then you'd Helen McEntee then out defending these people. But she comes out then and condemnation against the people in Coolock defending their... So when the people, her own people, are defending themselves, oh no, they're terrorists or the far right. Then we've Mary Lou MacDonald. How do we know that this is a far right threat, by the way? How do we know he's some shinner that just pissed off young fella that voted shit for Sinn Féin and now realises that they don't represent him, they don't stand for his community, and he just got pissed off?
Yeah, I don't want to go into who it is or what it is. No matter who it is, by the way, it was wrong. Yeah.
Absolutely. He's a fucking gobshite, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
A balaclava in his bloody head and his room in the background, he could be quite easily identifiable.
Yeah.
And I know the Gardaí probably know he's anyway. Probably some young fella fucking crazy. But it doesn't mean to say he's far right. And because he's now labelled as far right, I'm automatically labelled as well as a terrorist. By extension. You know, and I mean, I'm looking, you know, you talk about the media. The media have so much to play. Justin Trudeau calling for freedom. I mean, freedom is now considered far right.
So we saw the behaviour of the left in France last week when they thought Marine Le Pen was going to get elected. You saw the behaviour of the left. I mean, when she didn't get elected, well, she got a third place seat. When she didn't get elected, you didn't see the far right out wrecking the place. You know?
No, they didn't. But however, the week before when she won the first round, how many cities, look at the burning and the looting and the rioting going on.
Mm.
But then the following week, then, of course, they played the trick, then they got 200 to resign.
Yeah.
So then it made it impossible for her to win. But was it the far right, her supporters come out and start burning buildings? No, they never did anything. They were just pissed off, demoralised probably inside themselves. You know, and all of a sudden then, you know, when the left wing go out, they're always defending. The left wing go out in March, they're always defending their rights. But if you look at our Irish media, as soon as the Irish Patriots go out, all of a sudden then they get labelled as far right. And they get demonised by the media. They're put down. Like
they're not just demonised. The media just report what the government are saying. So the media will put Simon Harris on or Roderick O'Gorman on or Helen McEntee on, and she'll be the one that'll demonise them. Or Roderick O'Gorman absolutely. Or Simon Harris with his snarky little face on him the other day there. He was the one demonising them.
Yeah, absolutely. All demonised.
And I agree, by the way, if people are being violent, you know, I agree that you charge them under the Public Order Act, et cetera, and you condemn it. But, you know, they're not looking at the root of that problem. Anyway, look, we're running out of time rapidly. I've only got one more person to go to. Karen, thank you for that. Stephen, thank you very much indeed. I've just got one more person to go to. I appreciate you all coming on the air today. Jackie, hi, how are you?
I'm good, and I've been listening to the show and a lot of great points. And it boils down to whoever disagrees with the government is far right or racist or, and you know, when you go back to COVID, go back to the climate change thing, you know, everything. So it's a way of just trying to shut people up. And people are afraid to say stuff now. A lot of people are afraid to say stuff because they don't want to be labelled. You know, it
depends on who you are. Confused. It depends on who you are. You can say certain things, provided you're part of the club. You know what I mean? If you're an academic from a college in Dublin and you want to say something, you can say whatever you want. You've got a free pass because you're a lefty. You know, you can say whatever you want. Yeah. But if you're Niall Boylan and you're a broadcaster, you know, and you're on radio and I say certain things, I'm out of a job. So it depends on who you are.
Yeah. And look, we are so lucky to have you there. And people like you are, you know, it's so important. If we didn't have this outlet, God, where would we be like? And the likes of Twitter, you know, I've been kind of looking again this morning at different things and just going back to the whole immigration thing. And some guy put up a great tweet of like, who's gaining from this? Like, who's gaining from all this? Because there's something major behind this. It's not as simple as, oh, everyone now is running from war and running from this, that and the other. There's huge money being made here. So there is. And it's far more sinister than what people think. And then it's not affecting some people. So they, you know, there's areas and people don't even think about it and don't have any kind of, you know, they don't comment about it because it doesn't affect them. It's only when it affects. When stuff like this comes into your area,
I mean, it's easy. It's easy for the middle class and the wealthy, you know, to look down on the people of Coolock and condemn the behaviour and condemn the violence and condemn, you know, what's going on and condemn their views and call them right wing. It's easy to do that because that's what the government are telling them. And it's really sad. What happens is, you know, places like communities like Coolock, which have been ignored for 30 years, probably anyway, get nothing. You know what I mean? And the only time those young fellas who were causing problems yesterday, setting fire to things and throwing things, the only time they ever see the police is for negative reasons. It's not for good reasons. There's no real community policing or good community policing in the area. There probably hasn't been for years. You don't see people walking on the beat anymore looking after things. So the only interaction they have with the police is usually during, you know, when they're chasing a stolen car or you know, when there's a riot like over the last 2 days. So, you know, like Helen McEntee doesn't help the situation by saying, you know,
no, but
we're going to continue doing what we're doing, so we're not listening to you, piss off, basically. Yeah. That I shouldn't say those words.
But the problem here is now we don't know what is being staged either. It's gone to that you're kind of, you've become very cynical and you see what happened to Mary Lou and then you're going, you know, is this a serious PR thing here going on? You know, Trump's thing, was that staged? You have a security, the security that is around Trump is just amazing. What they do and what they go through and check out an area and that. And a guy sitting on top of a roof that's visible. So you're going...
Oh, yeah, you know, you are wondering how the hell that happened. But if you watch the videos, I mean, the man is lucky to be alive. If he didn't turn his head a fraction of an inch just before the bullet went off. Yeah. And you can see the bullets going by him, by the way. In the photographs, they freeze-framed it now. You know, it would have killed him. Yeah. There's no way you could stage that because there's no way anyone's going to risk staging something like that.
Yeah, but he was very obvious. And then you look at the Garda cards being burnt out and guys with balaclavas and that, burn, you know, pulling the doors out and stuff like that. You see, you don't know anymore what is real.
What's real and what's not. Real. No, and I get you. And I've watched all the videos intently, and you are in that situation now where you just don't know anymore what is real and what could be set up. You know what I mean? Or could be the other side trying to get people in Coolock in trouble. And I understand that can happen too. But look, Jackie, Stephen, and thank you everybody for getting involved in the conversation. It was a very interesting one. Thank you to Eoin Doherty as well from the Irish Independent, and also Ben Scala from Grip Media, who started the conversation off today. And the question quite simply was, you know, what is the far right? Now, just to mention as well, Ursula von der Leyen wins a second term as the EU Commission President. For fuck's sake. More of the same for another 5 years. There you go. Sinn Féin's MEPs have voted against Ms. Von der Leyen along with Independent Luke Ming Flanagan. The results of the vote should be announced after 1:30 today. Somebody says, hello, it's Tracy O'Hanlon from the IFP. I recently ran in Dundalk, Carlingford, the Irish Freedom Party. The hate speech bill is intrusive, specific as to what the state can do, yet vague as to what hate is. How can you play a game if you don't know the rules? Where is the edge of the cliff? Elevating others to a superior legal status, thus reducing legal protections for others, is not progressive. And she goes on to talk about the hate speech bill. We will cover that, by the way, the hate speech bill again, I promise you. Now, I do have some messages here. Hang on, my producer there, just while I put these up for you. So I do have, I think there's a WhatsApp message here that I need to play for you. Hold on, I just get it for you now. In the meantime, by the way, don't forget, at any stage, you can WhatsApp or text 085-122-55. That's 085-122-55. Now, I'll play this one for you.
Good afternoon, Noel. Great conversation. No, look, far right now is just a term they use because they can't have an argument. They just know they're on the losing side every time when they try to debate with people. They just know what's going on. I mean, it just plays remind Stephen there that I think it was Regina or Pauline, one of the two of them in the Oireachtas committee, asking what should we do with the 300,000 unvaccinated people in this country. This was a long time after the pandemic, and it all passed by. She's still looking to gather us all up and see what's to be done with us. How will society accept us? But yet, Ukrainians are coming to this country with none of them vaccinated. Not a peep. Crazy shit, isn't it? Cheers, Noel.
You are right. I do remember that. Just after, you know, we had reopened as a country, all of a sudden, we suddenly forgot about this idea that if you weren't vaccinated, you had to be staying away from society. Because the Ukraine had one of the lowest rates of vaccination, yet we accepted thousands of people in unvaccinated and nobody seemed to care. All of a sudden, it wasn't a problem anymore. It just goes to show you the whole thing was a load of bollocks in the first place, to be honest with you. Anyway, people should have had a choice. If you didn't want to get vaccinated, you don't get vaccinated. If you want to get vaccinated, you fire away and get vaccinated. People's choices should have been respected. This idea of vilifying people and isolating people was horrendous. Horrendous. And some of my fellow broadcasters, by the way, around the country, I'm not going to start naming names. You all know who they are, by the way. Shameful bunch of idiots, the way they went on to sensationalise it and talk about, you know, unvaccinated people as murderers or potential murderers. I heard one of them, very credible person, well known to everybody, said, going out without a vaccination is like going out with a loaded gun. I'm going, you fucking moron, shut up. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. It's been a wonderful show. I really enjoyed the conversation with Ian and Ben and Stephen and everybody else that was on during the show. I really apologise to everybody. We couldn't get to everybody. But I really thank you all for all the wonderful comments. I'd love to read them all out, but there's so many we can't. You can keep texting, WhatsApp. If there's everything you want to bring up on the show, by the way, WhatsApp us, 085 100 2255. That's 085 100 2255. We'll raise it. If it's a topic you think we're talking about, we'll raise it. Remember, this platform is your platform, not mine, it's yours. There's three of us working the show. We don't get paid. People don't believe me when I say that. That's why I still have a full-time job in radio, because I couldn't afford not to. We don't get paid. We do it to get enough money to pay the bills, to keep those lights on, to keep that electricity going, so we can upload it online, to keep this video going. No ads, look. No ads. Because if we take on a sponsor, and we could, we've been offered by two or three people now an opportunity to put a sponsor in the show, and we'd get a couple of thousand probably for a month for running a sponsor's name in the background. But then we are at the behest of a sponsor. I've been down this road before with sponsors. And the problem is then the sponsor has a right to turn around to you. I'd say, I'd rather you didn't discuss that on your show, because we promote that in this, or our values don't match in with that. And it turns into nonsense. So we don't have a sponsor. So we rely solely on your subscriptions and your donations. So please, I know you get sick of me saying it. And, you know, look, you've got to work a little bit harder to help us out here, because it's really not good. We cannot continue to do this unless we get your assistance. We've no other way to make money. None. So the only way we can do it is if you subscribe. You can watch all the previous videos. Go to the website, niallboylan.com. Or indeed, if you can't subscribe or you can't commit to that, even a donation. Doesn't matter what it is. It can be a fiver or 5 million. If you're very wealthy and you're listening out there and you want to support us, please go to the website, niallboylan.com. Throw us a few quid. And I promise you, it's spent on the show. There's nowhere else it gets spent. Please try and support us, niallboylan.com. I shall be back again with you tomorrow at the same time. No, what day is today? Thursday. Oh, Monday. Monday. But don't forget, over the weekend, we've got some interesting ones we're going to put up over the weekend that you may not have seen before, all right? So keep an eye on our Twitter account and Facebook account, and go to the website, niallboylan.com. Shall talk to you again Monday at 12. Have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.